Hi, this is Nikki Gratrix, and welcome to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference. And I'm very happy to introduce Harry Massey, who is our guest today. Harry is the CEO of Ness Health, which is a bioenergetic wellness company that has 4,500 practitioners worldwide. He's also been a very successful documentary filmmaker. He made the film The Living Matrix movie back in 2009, which was award-winning, and he interviewed people like Edgar Mitchell, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, and many other people who are experts in the field of energy medicine. He's also the author of the book Decoding the Human Body Field, which he co-wrote with Peter Fraser, who he also co-founded Ness Health with. So Harry has been on a very interesting personal journey himself as well, recovering from severe chronic illness in his 20s, and he's going to be talking about some of the tools that he used to recover from that chronic complex illness. But I started by asking him about the fact the research is showing that cells are 100 times more sensitive to signaling from frequency and resonance and energy than they are from biochemical signaling. And I said to him, isn't that suggestive of the fact that energy medicine really is part of the future of medicine? So we'll go straight to the interview now and Harry will answer the question.
It is. I would query the 100 times. That's sort of, I don't know where the 100 times number, because in quantum, you know, everything is, well, things are instantaneous. So yeah, I would say the field-based communication system in the body is basically, you know, infinitely more efficient, or at least thousands of times efficient. Maybe it's infinitely more efficient than a chemical system. And it is really curious, you know. I mean, there's all these different control systems. There's this hormonal control system, you've got your autonomic nervous system, then you've got this field-based thing on top. But let's just keep it, I don't know, maybe slightly more practical. If we're looking at the autonomic nervous system, you know, we all think that, you know, like your hypothalamus controls your pituitary, you'll get this better than me, produces, what is it, ACTH, and then that goes to the adrenals. And then, you know, somehow, well, the adrenals produce 50 other, you know, hormones. You know, but is it really that logical? It's chemical to chemical to chemical to chemical. Yet, you know, from the same place, your hypothalamus, you've got your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic. Only the sympathetic connects to your adrenals. So, you know, if you're in that fight or flight, you know, suddenly you have adrenaline and cortisol. It's not suddenly coming from the pituitary and going through the blood. You know, it's definitely in that sense an electrical system. Or if we want to take it a bit further to this idea, the body field, it's more likely that the nervous system is basically just a carrier way, where it's just setting up a field for information to be carried on the top. So yeah, I mean, so it in a normal wave type system, which is probably what that paper was referring to, I think a field-based system would be 100, yeah, at least 100 times more efficient. You know, like the nervous system would be more efficient than a hormonal system. If you're looking at a quantum field and you've got basically action at a distance, then it's going to be probably infinite. Well, it's instantaneous.
Yeah. So essentially, what you're saying is that a lot of the speed of biology isn't explained by slow-moving hormones, and even the nervous system is actually quite slow compared to a quantum field where you've got instantaneous communication, right?
And even the normal logic of the nervous system is fairly screwed up. You've got a spinal column that is, I guess, the nerve is so thick. You know, then you've got nerves coming off which are narrower. Then they're all joined. I can't remember the name, but you know they're all joined by a chemical. You've basically got your nerve and then a chemical join, then back to a nerve.
Neurotransmitter.
Yeah, through the synapse. Yeah, so the neurotransmitter. Yeah, exactly. So it's an electrochemical system. It's not electrical. It's not chemical. You know, it's using both. And all of these nerve sheaths are different widths, so they all waves travel at different speeds down them. And you know, when you're getting down into your fingers or some of your periphery nerves, the nerves are very, very tiny indeed, and the electrical signals travel really, really slowly. So you've basically got, yeah, this nervous system that's traveling at all these different speeds, and that somehow is meant to be, you know, coordinating everything. Well, you know, for all of your trillions of cells to work, you know, optimally or to keep you alive, basically everything needs to be coordinated in real time, and, you know, there's a real conductor that's conducting everything absolutely perfectly. But that can't happen through a system that works at different speeds. But if you just look at the nervous system as something that's just setting up a field, and then it's information that's just carried over the top of it, then the information can be carried instantaneously because the field, like the electromagnetic field, is there. So anyway, there's flaws and pros in pretty every part of biology you want to look at, really.
But it seems strange to me that people don't realize that quantum physics has practical solutions for health already, but people still don't really believe it. And yet we're made of trillions of cells, and all of those cells have subatomic particles that are being influenced by frequency and waves. So, you know, we can change how our cells are oscillating at the subatomic level through various means, through resonance ultimately, but various mediums like a pulsed electromagnetic frequency, or, and this is where it's going to get fascinating, we'll talk about the impact of information on water, which is the second topic, but maybe let's talk about PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic frequency, you know, which is another part of the NES health system. It's, and people don't realize, people don't know that frequency is essential for life, like the Schumann resonance. Like, people don't know that if you don't get that, like the astronauts get ill, and they've done experiments shielding people from electromagnetic frequency, and like they start crying uncontrollably and can't coordinate themselves, and then they have shorter lifespans. And the science is there, and there's 40 years of research behind
PEMF. Well, water in the body doesn't work properly unless you're in the presence of a field, and what we're mainly talking about in a field is basically Earth's magnetic field. And there's a really interesting Russian experiment. It's just done in a lab, but they basically just trying to prove homeopathy. And so they would shine, I'll have to describe the full experiment. So they would basically take the homeopathic, they would dilute it in the distilled water, and then they would shine a laser through the water. Then they have some type of microscope that was basically looking at nanoclusters of the water. And what's absolutely amazing is they found all of these nanoclusters, hundreds of millions of water molecules long, that all had different shapes depending on the original sort of imprint, the original homeopathic. But where I'm getting to the electromagnetic field part, if they did that in a Faraday cage, it didn't work. It was just distilled water. There were no nanoclusters at all. So unless you're in Earth's magnetic field, you know, it doesn't happen. And then, you know, when we're getting into the body and how water is working the body, you know, you've also got all these nanoclusters, you know, inside the cells, inside the brain that may have, you know, maybe related to memory and information as well. But yeah, unless there are fields present in the body, that wouldn't work. Now, of course, there are fields present in the body, so that's all good. But anyway, a little bit of extra info.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So yeah, and the medium of delivery, the fact that we are subatomic beings as well as biochemical beings, means that we can use frequency. Light is another one. There's like almost 5,000 papers on the power of red light, and now they're basically saying, oh, we run off the sun because photons of red light like feed the mitochondria, and that's how there's 5,000.
Yeah, well, it's the most obvious one. It was the most obvious application of quantum biology. It's just photosynthesis. Like, we're all, well, you know, I'll point that outside. All those lovely green trees. I mean, what on earth is a plant or a tree? It's frigging amazing. All it is, when you break it down, is sunlight and air, and a few minerals and water sucks out of the ground. But basically, it's taken energy from the sun. It's sequestered carbon from the from the AF carbon dioxide, you know, and created all of that material. And there's a bit of water and some minerals from the ground as well. And then for some reason in our heads, we're like, well, photosynthesis happens in the plant kingdom, but it doesn't happen in the animal kingdom. And, you know, that's just rubbish, because the same structured, well, the reason photosynthesis works is because of structured water, as in H2O3 in the leaf, and basically a photon hits H3O2 and it spins off an electron. An electron is basically the source of energy for growth and everything that happens in a plant. But if light hits you and hits structured water in a cell, well, it's still spinning off an electron. That electron is going to attach itself to the cell membrane, which is like a capacitor, and it's another source of energy, and it's actually the same source of energy in the whole, you know, the conventional ATP chain, because that's also just an electron transfer chain. And if you're in the middle of winter, you need to eat lots of fat and nutritious foods. You know, in the summer, we all live off salads and run around all day without eating very much. That's because we're getting our energy from the heat or from the sun. But yeah, it's obvious, but we miss it somehow.
Okay, we should talk a little bit more about, because when I'm thinking about like just pulse electromagnetic frequency from a device, yeah, sort of, it's not only is it like directly affecting cell membranes, affecting how electrons are resonating, but it's affecting the water in our body as well. Let's talk just a little bit. We should touch on it. Like, what is this fourth phase of water? It's a recent discovery, isn't it? It's not gone mainstream yet, and yet it's pretty profound, right?
Yeah, I think, Gilbert, he didn't call it fourth phase water, but Gilbert Ling, who is another... Well, he was a Nobel Prize. Yeah, he was a Nobel Prize cell biologist back in the 60s, I think it was. So he was sort of the discovery of, I guess, like water in a gel form in the body, and then I think he's also around Seattle. But anyway, you know, became a friend of Pollock, and Pollock obviously took those ideas a lot further. And then Gerald Pollock basically renamed it, or named it properly, four phase of water, or EZ water. Basically what he was saying is you've got four stages of water, which is your solid, i.e. ice, this four phase gel type water where it is H3O2 instead of H2O, then your normal liquid water, and then vapor. But why this structured water is so interesting is because when it's in this gel-like format, it basically has all of these different properties. You know, one is it's able to convert photons into electrons. Two, it's able to excrete toxins out. Three, it's able to create a charge differential between the structured water and the bulk water. So the structured water, if I got it right, has a negative charge, and the bulk water then have a positive charge. So that's where you get into this idea that the body is a battery. So you can create all this charge separation in the cell, and you create a mechanism for all your cells being a battery and a storage of energy and a transfer of energy. And then of course the interesting one for us is also this idea that basically water can hold a memory. And so, you know, when people think water contains a memory, sounds like bullshit, and it actually is bullshit for bulk water, but for structured water it's not, because you know, as soon as you have that structure, it's very similar to magnetic tape, in that you can basically store you can imprint an electromagnetic field onto that structured water because it has this magnetic capacity, because it has this charge-like capacity. There might be also more of a quantum effect, but I think that's we'll go over an electrical explanation. Okay, we can so go too summary, down the rabbit hole.
Okay, so that, just so, to summarise, so that people get the relevance and the importance of what you just said, because it's really important. What we're saying is that frequency and sunlight, we're electromagnetic beings, and when we get those things from nature, they're all around us, they are creating this fourth phase of water in our bodies. So the water around our cells increases in those properties that you said, which includes amazing possibilities for detoxification. We're creating a charge. So it means that the blood is running through our veins and our capillaries. In fact, I think Gerald Pollock says this is how it, the heart can't pump the blood through the capillaries. There's not enough evidence to show that it's strong enough to do that. But when the water's structured, it's moving through the capillaries. In other words, we're talking about circulation, detoxification, charge. In other words, when you get sunlight and frequency, water is one of the mediums that you're charging the body, getting energy and able to detox and feel happy and, you know.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, people think we're whatever it is, 78% water. But if you actually look at just water molecules alone, it's 99.9. I think it's 99%, because even a protein and a fat has H2O in it as well. So, if you're just looking at a protein has a few carbons attached to the H2O, etc. So yeah, we're pretty much all water.
It's amazing. So therefore, it would totally make sense of why you have a history of homeopathy, and that you can put information into water and ingest the water, and it would affect the water in your body. I saw this amazing link that you sent me actually, where there are Russian researchers who basically did a kind of homeopathy experiment with aspirin. So they took the frequency of aspirin and printed it on water and got the same improvement with, I think it was mice or rat experiments, from just...
They were looking at the viscosity, weren't they? I think the video, we could maybe attach that video underneath your podcast, but the viscosity of the drops of blood were the same, weren't they?
It's just unbelievable that they got the results from aspirin just by imprinting the information, the frequency of aspirin, on the water. And I was amazed to see they were imprinting the information on the water by having it was a vial of water that they were putting on a CD. I just think it's mind-blowing, isn't it? So that is literally the information, the digital information.
They used to call it infoceuticals. Now they call it informational copies. I don't know if they realised our infoceuticals were trademarked, but who knows?
So I think it's fascinating. But I did, right, we'll talk more about this, but I did also, because I'm always talking about, mindset and emotions and stuff, let's just talk about, and therefore we can also link it back to how you could take something, information imprinted on water, and how it could even change your emotional state. But then we need to talk about what are memories and where are they stored? And I always say, I know there's absolutely zero science showing that memories and thoughts actually exist in the neurons or between the neurons. There's zero evidence. There is a theory by the famous neuroscientist Karl Pribram, who's German, and said, it's the memories are stored in the field that's produced by all the neurons in the brain firing together. So it's a field theory. He's saying the memories exist in the field. There's nothing, we know that trauma and emotional trauma leaves a biochemical imprint. It affects epigenetics. It affects the nervous system, but it doesn't actually.
And what you were just saying, so the neurons are producing that. Well, there's a few things. Let's backtrack. So, In the chemistry, because Western science, what's medicine generally trying to do is create a patentable drug. So they're looking for a chemical that has to be responsible for all these things. Yet, of course, as you just mentioned, the brain is one of the most, the heart is a very strong electromagnetic organ, but the brain, the brain incredibly, it's just a huge electric field in there. But what I was going to say is, so there's a couple of ideas there. So, basically that those, when all the neurons are firing, it's basically some big imprinter receiver. And then the question is what's it imprinting into? So, it could be imprinting into space, into nothing. I mean, that's an idea. Probably more logical that fits this whole water research idea is it's basically imprinting information into structured water, because your brain is full of water, but not normal water. It's full of structured water, and just like we were talking. Well, I don't know. This is an idea. This is just a Harry theory. It may be completely wrong. But when I was looking at this Russian research of how you get hundreds of millions of nanoclusters long, I was saying, well, they those could be antennae, or it could be like literally antenna or receiver. So yeah, so when you're recording, let's say your trauma, for instance, you know, you have some trauma early on, you know, you've got that memory of water, and it's sort of like an antennae. So then, you know, later in your life, you're then continually picking up on that same sort of frequency and attracting more of, you know, more of the same. Because maybe I should explain one more part of it. So I think in the Carl Bibram stuff, you know, he's looking at this holographic theory, really. But he was really, well, I think one of the experiments he did, if I remember correctly, is he minced up a mice's brain. Was that right? And then it could still find its way around a maze.
Other experiments have been done that show people with losing huge parts of their brain still function, still have memory.
So basically, it isn't anything to do with the structure of the brain, probably not to do with the water in the brain in that sense. It's picking up the information from the field, from space, basically, and back again. So, where I was going with this is, therefore, if you have a load of trauma and it's been imprinted in all the water in your brain, you know, that information, you know, they're forming all these nanoclusters, are likely that therefore sort of forms these antennae of what you then, you know, of what you then receive and transmit continually to the universe, because your life is not just what's in you, it's, you know, what you're transmitting and picking up from the universe too. So you end up keep repeating that trauma and attracting the report, repeating the trauma. Whereas, you know, what the most significant thing you can do really for your life is re-imprint the brain, you know, basically.
Well, re-imprint the field, exactly. Yeah. I find that fascinating. That really triggers my, I'm sort of thinking, it's making me think, like, I know that Peter Fraser always said that with trauma, that it could have been, it's like a corrupting kind of standing wave in the field. So trauma is where it's just distortion in the field around the body, which is can have negative impact on the biology, but is also, it's like an attractor field as well, which is hence coming back to what you said about you keep then attracting the same traumatic repetitive events. But I just love the connection, how we've linked it into water as well, because that's just another medium of how it's stored, and therefore also how you can deliver, curing or changing the frequency so that you stop attracting. Anyway, trauma and memory has definitely got an electromagnetic and frequency component. It exists in the nervous system. It does. You can see the biological footprint, but the root is also electromagnetic, and that's why, I mean, we've just really explained why you can use infraceuticals to support emotional growth and clearing out the emotional body, really, isn't it? Because
it's the most important thing, you know, that it's at the top of the tree, and you've got, you know, I guess all your your kidneys and skin and all those sorts of organs, then you've got the next layer up of importance, which, you know, be like digestion, circulation, well, I'd put those up, you know, nervous system, you know, and then, you know, that, well, and then, yeah, and then we're getting into this body field idea that can, and then really at the top of the tree is the information, and a form of information is all of your thought, trauma, or the positive information like infraceuticals, or, you know, meditating or whatever you're trying to attract in. But because it's right, you know, it's right at the top, so it's going to govern everything underneath. And you can play around with all these things down here, but, you know, to fix your digestion, it might sound weird, but if you can correct your trauma information up here, you know, that has a knockdown effect to the autonomic nervous system, which instead will activate more the parasympathetic instead of the sympathetic, and then your digest system, you know, gets more relaxed, and then you don't have so many digest issues. Or you can go in and, like, I don't know, you know, do the heaviest known cleanse to man for your digest system, but actually going in up here, more, you know, it's more likely to have more impact for less, I guess, less time and energy and money put into the problem.
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. This is what I say all the time. If someone has unresolved trauma and they're, let's say their energetic, psychoenergetic nervous system is set into the stress mode because of trauma and corrupting fields and so on, you cannot, either the biochemistry work you do either doesn't work at all or it doesn't work as effectively. And when you work at the psychoenergetic level first, you're, it's not to say don't do the diet stuff, it is important, but it'll do that stuff and reset the nervous system and then do the biochemistry, because it's more likely to be successful. It's the, that's the core message I'm saying all the time. I speak to psychiatrists all the time who, they understand, for example, about the adverse childhood event study and the prevalence of trauma. And they're functional medicine psychiatrists. And they're all saying, you know, nobody really in the functional medicine community is talking about the fact that all that gut work doesn't really work if the neuroendocrine immune system is not being reset. So you better do the psych stuff. And psychology, some of the frontline therapies are energetic based, so like EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, that's based in Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, and it's a conventional frontline therapy where you're thinking about the trauma and then you move your eyes to each side and it helps clear the trauma. I mean, so that's the conventional therapy, but it's same as EFT, you're tapping on acupressure points. Loads of research behind it, one of the most popular things out there to use, world-class leading experts who are leading the way in trauma are using all that, and it's all energy based neurofeedback.
It's a new application for my health, but it's sort of an interesting area that I'm looking into. So I've been putting these two electrodes into both my ears, because the ears is a, you know, ears as an access to the vagus nerve, to the parasympathetic, to just to calm that. I've just been putting it over the ear, been doing it on the third eye in the top. I can't remember what that's called. That's called the thousand gate. Was it the thousand gates or something? But that connects the hypothalamus and the pineal gland, those two points. So yeah, I've been sort of, anyway, it's the line I've been going down recently for myself for fun.
Yeah, the pulse electromagnetic frequency is definitely treating like severe, like resistant major depression. And yeah, it's working. It's like it's a type of therapy that's only working for where everything else fails. So yeah, pulse electromagnetic frequency, it's once again, it's showing that we are frequency beings, both physiologically and emotionally, and that has a profound impact on our biochemistry as well. So actually, just so that people know what we're talking about, I'm going to show people my health. And my health device is the name of the Nest PEMP device. Let's just hold on a second. Right. Just disappeared for a second. But this,
oh, look, it matches your dress. That's good.
So this is a My Health. This is a My Health device. And this is where the magnetic waves can be set on broadcast mode, so they're coming out. I am always using this on broadcast mode. I use it every single day. I have it on sleep. I have it I'm amazed by it, and people don't realize that is FDA approved for pain relief. I have people who come around, like friends, and everyone's like, can you just put this, I've got this pain here. So the information goes down within like 5 to 10 minutes.
I should technically correct that, because it's not approved for pain relief. It's approved as a biofeedback device for retraining muscles, nerves, tissues, organs, blah 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 blah. it is approved for pain relief in Australia, Canada, and all of Europe, just not in the States.
Okay, but there are PEMP devices that are. I mean, there are. PEMP is FDA approved, isn't it? So we're just, when we talk about that specifically, but it's quite amazing. And there's the actually, I will include the link to the video of Cyril, who I should have on the podcast. Cyril was the co-developer, would you say, of the My Health Cyril Ball?
It's basically about four or five of us in that My Health team.
So, and there's a Cyril's holding it, just holding it up against the forehead of like a 1,000-pound bull that's very angry. And he's holding it here, and the bull within like 30 seconds calms down. And it's amazing to see that.
You've seen the one where he's treating his bulls?
No.
Well, I think it's in another clip of the same. It was the same bull, but
right,
he was literally treating the bulls, which was very brave.
Because we could only do that because he'd calmed it down, but it was a breeding bull, wasn't it? But yeah, people don't know about these because we live in that paradigm of the biochemical paradigm. still so much, and drug paradigm. And this is, I've seen just even holding it when I've got a cold, you know, when you get the flu symptoms, you're just putting it on CFI setting, the cold flu influenza, and just it disappears, like the symptoms disappear in 5 minutes. People don't realise that's real. That is actually happens.
Because it's not a normal, you know, people look up PEMF. This isn't really a PEMF device in that sense, because the reason it's able to help with a cold or a flu is because it's basically able to carry information from that device into your overall body field, and then your cells are picking up that information, and it's they're doing something else. It's not the same as just a pulse magnetic field, because you can get pulse magnetic field devices. All they're doing is literally just pulsing a magnetic field. They're not trying to influence the body field's information like its ultimate control system.
So your dog Abby's making her appearance.
Yeah, yeah, Abby, come on.
Is there anything else that you also want to talk about in terms of to focus on? Anything from like whether it's success stories or, I mean, actually we could talk just a little bit.
Well, more. Maybe we should say what it all is. I don't think we even really said what an infoceutical is. We sort of went around it.
Yeah, I'll go into this in another session in more detail. We can do a whole podcast.
Abby.
So let's talk about infoceuticals and a little bit more about those. That's a good idea. I use them with all my clients. I feel they can get to things that nutrition can't. I can use them remotely with people. I can have people scan remotely and then just take.
I think maybe I'll just talk people through what happens if they visited like a practitioner, because that might be that might give it some context. So back in our early days, we wanted to create this health system. So our mission is basically to create the easiest, most effective and educative health system in the world. I don't know if it is yet, but anyway, it's getting there. But basically, if you're a patient or a client, you basically receive a little scanner in the post. You can put your hand on the device, and then a practitioner will basically then interpret your scan, and you can see up on both your screen and the practitioner's screen, your body's fields of different organ fields and meridians and nutrition and of course trauma and emotions, etc. And then what it's really doing is it's basically working out the priority to get you better. So it's basically looking at the most significant infoceuticals that will basically help improve your body field. And then when we get to infoceuticals, an infoceutical, have you got one? Maybe I'm sure. I've got somewhere. Let me pick one up. So an infoceutical is basically, I should be a very good boy. See, these are the ones I take. There we go. I'm taking Liberator today. So great. There we go. So that's Liberator.
That's what infoceuticals look like. That's great.
So that's an infoceutical, which is basically, it's just information imprinted into structured water. And then instead of in the idea of homeopathy, where we imprint a negative message because you're just trying to dilute some, weird herbal toxin to get the body to react to, we basically mapped out the optimal fields of the body. So we would say, well, what would help a cell respond well, or what would help the kidney, what would help a liver field, etc. And then we basically imprint that information into the liquid. And then in this case it's Liberator. So this basically helps to release things from our subconscious into our conscious for better processing. And basically that's an infoceutical, and there's 72 of them. And you know which one to take, because basically the system works out the recommendations for you, so there's no guessing in it. And then you generally just take four of those a month, and then you go back for a rescan.
And what's great, I think, is that when most of the time, in my experience, when I took them as well for myself, and I still take them ongoing, it's the fact that you might have the experience of obviously a physical changes, but often it can be you're getting an emotional release at the same time, which I think that's why I use the Nest system. It's obviously I'm like the mind body person, so this is what I.
Yeah, well, you get so many amazing dreams. That's, you know, I always wake up with some great insight, or you know, or you just see some event that happened in the past, you're like, oh, what does that mean, you know? Which is, yes, always,
yeah. And that's a symptom of emotions. You often see that emotions clearing through the field, they're just purging. So it either come out with dreams, or somebody might feel an emotion during the day for like no reason that they can think of that's for the present reason. It's just, but it's cleansing through the system, old stuff is clearing out basically, and I've seen that constantly. But so, do you want to
talk? There's one other little thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is sort of new.
Yeah.
And it's basically this sort of, well, the mission of decoding the human body field to get to the root cause and restore people's energy for life. So you know, when we met Peter, we decoded an amount of the body field. But where it's getting really, really interesting, because now our system is all in the cloud, so we're basically starting to collect both voice patterns and also ECG and HRV data, and then we're also collecting photon emissions that come off your fingers, and then we're basically applying lovely machine learning. Well, actually, and we're also collecting questionnaires that go with all of that. So we can basically do machine learning to fully decode the human body field more. I say fully, but to continue the decoding of the body field, because you know there's information that comes from, well, there's information in your voice pattern. There's information in ECGs that isn't looked at by medicine. As I say, there's all of these photon emissions coming out of meridians which aren't looked at either. And so although we already have a scanner that actually already tests for 440 items and is pretty good. We're sort of jumping off another research cliff with that. So you know, if people do sort of get involved or have a scan, that you know they'll also be part of this greater research of decoding the human body field. Because you know, well, for me, I just think it's incredibly important, because you know, the genome has been mapped, and we had all these amazing promises of it being able to, you know, cure this disease and that disease if we'd mapped out all these genes. And I guess, well, here we are years later, and that hasn't really, the genes have been mapped, but it's not like it's curing everybody of everything. At least from my point of view, the body field is a higher level system, because the body field is actually a control system that is able to affect epigenetic expression. It does have more impact, and it has the potential to have massive impact. And if we fully map out that body field, it's going to have huge societal implications. And Because of collecting so much data, and obviously all the modern techniques of machine learning, it becomes way more credible. Because you know, if we have, you know, 1 million scans, 2 million scans, and this is the data that it is, it's not like doing some little study with 200 people, 500 people, 50 people, you know, 1 million people, and that's what the data says. You can't really argue against it. And then obviously, so basically, yeah, and then we're basically going to build this research platform, so other researchers that, you know, that aren't Nest can basically access all of that data and decode it, and you know, make insights and publish papers themselves on the data, and just basically open source the project, like the genome project. Okay, so that's our next little venture.
Wow, that's really exciting. So like the rather than the genome, it's the information decoding. That's really good to hear that you're kind of, this is the next stage, but jumping on the research bandwagon is the next stage to kind of make sure that this work continues and goes to the next level. And you were talking about AI, weren't you? Machine learning, which is amazing. So God, that's awesome. So there's so much happening still. It's really exciting. I'm just glad to be part of it all. So
yeah, it's fun.
We are going, yeah. I've got all the links to everything that we've talked about here on the show notes of for the podcast, including the link that I mentioned, which is the offer for practitioners, which I'll go over again in a second as well. Harry, is there anything else that you want to share just in the last few moments here?
I think that's good. I would just say, you know, anyone who is in a, you know, feeling in a dire situation, and the body can and does change. You know, if you're willing to change yourself and, you know, to do what it takes, the body will respond. And so, you know, just put yourself in an environment where you can change, and, you know, and find out what's going on, because that's something that's great with Ness, is it helps to get to the root cause pretty quickly, so we can, you know, so you can work out what you should do to get better. And you know, don't give up as well. So, you know, there's a lot you can do.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Harry. Agree more with that. The body knows how to heal itself. So thanks so much for your time, Harry. It's been awesome. Really enjoyed it. Always enjoy talking to you. And take care for now, everybody.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hi, so that was the interview with Harry Massey. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more about Harry's work and Ness Health, go to his website, which is nesshealth.com. That's nesshealth.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and there's plenty to look at on Harry's website, both if you are a practitioner or an individual consumer as well. So that's it for now, and take care. See you in the next episode.